come here to find you master.
Now the sandeep was going on, you see, we are under great delusion. And what is that delusion we are, in which we are adrift, that we are the indweller of the man body. But we have identified with the body so much of so that we have become as it were the body itself. So this body has been given to us with the grace of God to find your way back to God, your conscious entity, the top of the ocean of all consciousness. With His grace you got this highest realm in creation, man body, the highest realm in creation, in which you can go back to your true home of Father. But we are under a grand delusion. Why? For two reasons. This body is made of matter, and the whole world is made of matter. Matter is changing every minute at the same speed as our body is changing, because we have identified ourselves with the man body. When two things are changing at the same speed and we are identified with that thing, all this appears to be stationary, not changing. That is when dream. Suppose you are some men are rowing in a boat, and the boat is going that way where the water of the river is flowing, you see, the same way. You are identified with the boat. The speed of the boat and the water of the river is the same. When you are there, you appear to be stationary. So how to be out of this delusion? Body is changing, you see. As also the world is made of matter, that is also changing. There are two ways to be out of this delusion. One, foresight. When a man is sitting in the boat, let him see to the corners of the river, you see, shores of it. You will find that you are going down the stream. Or the best way is to be out of the boat. You see every boat is running now. So master's advice, oh man, you are under a great delusion, whether you are learned or unlearned, you see, rich or poor, you must be out of this delusion to enable you to see this world in its right perspective. So there are two ways. First one is taken by foresight. And the effective way there is go down, sit in a graveyard, you see, or in a place where the dead bodies are burnt, you see. There you see some are coming, some are carrying the dead bodies on their shoulders and they put underground or put consigned it to flames, then go back. But so much we are forgotten ourselves, we see with our own eyes. We carry the dead bodies on our own shoulders, but we are not convinced that we have to leave the body. How grand delusion it is. So one way is like that. And the other way is just to be out of the body. When just as you would be out of the boat, you will see boat is rowing down, everybody is rowing, water is flowing down, and the man who are identified with the boat, they are also flowing down. So for that the master said, you must learn how to leave the body. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. You must rise above body consciousness. Then you will see everything is right, perfect. This is the state of our body which you are carrying. And what about all relatives? They have been just brought together as a reaction of our past karma, you see, give and take. When that is finished, everybody has to leave, take his own way. So this body won't remain here, all along with us. Nor all others who have come together as a reaction of the past. They will also leave us, or we will leave them. Along with that, all other possessions also will be left here. This very body, who is the first companion we have got, when you come to the earth, on birth, when that leaves us, how all other things which have come only in connection with the body, how can they go along with us? That is why Christ said, lay by prayers. That where these ants won't eat. This place, earth or man body, is not the place to live forever. We have to leave someday, all, sooner or later. We are very great philosophers did come to the world. Very masters came to the world. They had man body, they left it. No exception to the rule. So unless we have got the right perspective, right view, we cannot see things as they are, truly. Master say, oh, look, we have to leave the world, these things will remain here, you will go empty-handed. Then our heart don't, are not convinced to see the things in their right color, you see. There are only two ways. One, foresight, just a man rowing down in the boat, see to the corners of the river. Or the other way is to leave the boat and come out. So this is the grand illusion in which we are all going down. If we just, these things are brought home, you see, then every angle of vision will change. Why will molest us? Why will squeeze the blood of others? Why will torment other people? Never. They have got the same man body as we have got. They are the same, I mean, a sense of it, as a God like us, top of the ocean of all consciousness, and the same controlling power keeping everyone else in the body. So highest aim is to know, to ride into God consciousness, you see. That will come only when you know yourself. Who you are. You are not the man body. You are dwelling in the man body, the highest in all, rung in all creation. So we have to make the best use of it, how to be out of it. For that purpose, Master always advised, rise above body consciousness, learn to die so that you may begin to live. You will write spectacles. Go, see through. Everything will appear in the right perspective. So that is why all must know nature. We are bearing, of course, the labels of different schools of thought in which we have joined, only to realize this truth. When you realize only, then your attachments will be cut out, you see. When you know you have to go, you have to leave. Father, you people have come from America. For how many days? A month, two or three or six? You know you have to go back. Although you are here, enjoying, still you think you have to go back. You just have that another vision. By rising above body consciousness, you will always be conscious knowing this is not our home. The home of the soul is the home of our Father. Fortunate we have got the man body, in which we can go back to the home of Rupa. And in no other lower classes of creation, you see, their only reaction, they are coming to reap what they have acted before, reap the fruit of that. In man body, we have also got this as a reaction of the past, but here we are free also within certain limits to direct ourselves, put ourselves on the right way back to God. That's all. An ABC will start when you rise above body consciousness. You learn how to leave the body at will. Then whole anger of will change. This is how you can be out of this grand illusion we are all in. When you know you are not the man body, you have got the man body, you are conscious entity, you have got the man body, you have got the intellect, but you are yourself conscious being. And you have been just given this man body, and by the grace of God, to enable you to go back to your home. It does not mean anyhow to leave the world and go to the forest, you see, but remain here, pay off your debts, give and takes, you see, and find your way back to God. All these relations, you see, they are brought together only as reaction of the past. To pay off their debts, you see, pay them off with love. And just be not deluded as we are now. We think perhaps this is the only place, this we live here forever, but nobody has lived here forever. This is a golden opportunity we have got to find our way back to God. So for that very purpose we have joined various schools of thought. The badges we are carrying only relate to your body, but you have got the man body. These are labels put on the man body. You are conscious entity. Your to whom is not this. Your to whom is one which is all consciousness. So, to find way back to God, the first lesson is that you are under a grand delusion. You must come out of that. But you see, even when we are doing our practice, even then we are not conscious of that. So you do your practice accurately, you see. Then you rise above body, you see the body is not you, you are above it. You begin to just have experience of the beyond. But this faith awaits everybody. You have to leave the body, no exception to the rule. But with all that, we are afraid of death. Death is only a cage. Just sets one side of the world and then rises on the other. It is just setting the sun. We leave this physical world and rise into the beyond. This is a practical question which you have. Somebody gives you a demonstration of that, you have to develop it from day to day. So that is no bugbear. It is a very level change, I would say, though you have got experience of the beyond. For others, they are dreadful. They dread it. Why? For two reasons. One, they don't know how to leave the body. At the time of death, we have to leave the body. This is one reason. You see, man dying, you see, how he feels, how much, you see, pain in the body. Sometimes he's just withdrawing of the soul from the body is just like Master referred to in their scriptures, that Mohammedan saints tell us that just like a thorny bush is put into the rectum and just extracted through the mouth. Hindu scriptures tell us that 1,000 scorpions bite together. The pain that one has felt, that way, so much pain is felt at the time of leaving the body. And you are a witness to that. Generally people feel so very much in agony. This is one reason why we are afraid of death. And the other, we do not know beyond where to go. So those who go to the master, they teach him, give him a demonstration of how to rise above the body for a while. You forget the world outside. You leave the body. Your inner eyes open. You see into the beyond. You are not the body. This is first grand concession that the master gives you. And this can be had, this experience can be had only with the help of a master. When you leave the body, you begin to understand that all this is going on under the divine will. The man who becomes conscious co-worker of the divine plan, well, he never said, I am doing it. He said, it is his will being done. Thy will be done on earth. The man who learns to die, to leave the body at will, he gets ever lost in life, never to return, because all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the physical one. Causal is still more beautiful. And the spiritual planes beyond are the most beautiful. Those who just have experience of those beyond you, place beyond, that is, they like to go, but they are bound. So even the master, they are playing their role, they want to go by every time, but they are bound by order, they have to carry on. Master makes the best use of them. And everybody. So this is the way, the first step, first ABC to be learned on the way to spirituality. You must come out of delusion. Did all these practices which you are asked to practice daily, did only meant for that purpose. Do you leave the body at will? Do you traverse into the beyond? And somebody should be there too to guide you. And here also to give you a demonstration of that. Who can do that, he's called a saint, he's got a master. He never leaves you here and hereafter both. So every day you are given some lesson. We have to learn it. This one lesson, if you know how to leave the body, you see how you can come out of the great death, delusion, then I think you will have the right person, spectacles to see. So please, what to do? This is the first step, people say. ABC starts with all philosophies and it is a matter of seeing. Rising above body consciousness, experience one's own self. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. So Master gives you a demonstration of that. Who can give you a demonstration of that? Guide outside also, and also when you go within, there also he comes up to help you. Well, it is a great blessing to have a living master. This was the lesson learned by us at our own master. That power never dies. Master power never dies. That works at different human poles. Our master used to give some example to show when one bulb is fused, the other is put on. The other is fused, the third is put on. But that light is the master, embodied in man body, that never dies. So this is the ABC of Trilanandi way, you see. We are all in a grand delusion. We must come out of that. It is not a matter of only talking, you see. It is a matter of practically rising above body consciousness. This is you rise above body consciousness day to day, every day at will, then what is, where is the death? Fear of death remains. Nothing. You will go jolly. You come here to find your master, is it? You are jolly, I think. So she means that we have to go to the feet of our master, our true master within us. So this place is not our place for live forever tonight. We have only to make the best use of all this. That's all. So I was just talking about who is our true master. All masters said the God is the Guru, is the master, true master. He is the controlling power within us. In the body we have got so many apertures, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, mouth and two underneath. We cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out. It cannot remain outside. Some power is pushing back into the body. That controlling power is called God. When that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So that is the true Guru. It is the controlling power in all, in each one of us. And where it is manifest, that manifested God in man, we call him a master. Not the son of man, but the son of man in which he is manifested. So true master is God himself. That God, not absolute, but the God which has come into expression, which is sustaining, controlling the whole universe. So that is the true Guru. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your Guru, your master? He says that God is the expression power. Shabad is the Guru. My soul is his disciple. Kabir also said the same thing. He was asked, where is your Guru residing? He said, he is beyond above the without going faculty. When you come up there, you will find him. That power is the controlling power, keeping us in the body. So, true Guru, or the true master, is the God into expression power, himself, that is controlling all universe. So, that body is respected, at which human fold is manifest. For the manifestation of God in him, we respect him, we love him. In the world, the question arises, whom should we love? Now, God is love, our soul is also love, it is innate in our souls, and naturally it wants somebody to be attached. Now our soul, our love, is attached to outward things, to the physical body, to the children, families, to the outer things. Result is what? We have to come back again and again where we are attached. So, where these all things are changing, not stationary. So, we have to love somebody which is not changing. Oh God, you are eternal, unchangeable, permanent Lord. We wish to be attached to you. Those who are attached to the world outward changing panorama of life, they cannot see you unless they withdraw from there. So true Guru, who is he? He is the God in man, manifested God in man. Whom should we love the most? Whoever is able to just withdraw our attention from outside, drag us up and open the inner eye to see him, what God is like. who can remove the darkness when you close your eyes and manifest the light in you, who is competent to do that, he is called a sadhu santa, mahatma. Ah, the word guru is used for that. But not for the son of man, as I tell you before. We respect that body only for the reason that he is manifest there, he is also within us, but latent. The God in him is the competency to just withdraw attention from outside, drag our attention from the lower portion of the body, bring up to the seat of the soul in the body and open in our eyes to see the light of God. So such a wonderful body, I will say, in which God is manifest. So to love him is the first thing which is from whom we get the highest aim of our life, to know God. Because he sees God, he makes us to see God within us. And once you get something to start with, some capital, we can then dwell from day to day and just rise into him, you see. So whom should you love? Naturally. If you love somebody who is coming and going, naturally we'll have to come back, we'll follow him wherever he goes. If you love somebody in whom God is manifest, naturally, where will you go, where he will go? If he is not to return back, then you are not to return back. What will he say? He says, well, this man body, you have got the highest rung in creation. You are fortunate. But the highest aim before you is to know God. That you can do only in man body and no other body. That you have got, fortunately, you have got it already with the grace of God. So this is your turn to see God, to meet God. All other things, they are to be paid off, all debts, giving and taking, you see, as a reaction of the past. Whom you love naturally, it follows that you have to just do what he says. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what does he say? Well, this is like turn to meet God. Man body, the highest rung in creation, you have got by the grace of God. Make the best use of it. What is the best use of it? To know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves. Self-knowledge precedes God knowledge. Not as a matter of inference or feeling, but as a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. When you know self, you know the old self which is controlling you in the body. And what is the expression of that God into expression power? God is light and God is sound principle. When you withdraw from outside, rise above body consciousness, you see with the inner eye open the light of God. And here, the sound of the nada of God. One who is competent in that, he is called a saint, he is called a sadhu or sadhu. So best thing to whom we should love is such a person in whom God is manifest. So when you near such a man, you see, you come across any pole where that powerhouse is connected, you see, you come nearer to powerhouse. So Maulana Rum says, when you come across it, true master, you come nearer to God. God is manifest in him. So coming to his seat, feet, by radiation you get withdrawn too. The more your attention is riveted in him, the more you think of him, the more you are drawn within. And your soul withdraws from the body, you see the light of God. So this is the feet of a master. In the world, man body, the highest ideal before us is to know God. But to know God, we must meet with somebody in whom he is manifest, who can also manifest in us the same God power working within us. See, although he does not ask you to leave the world and go to the forest, you see, he says, remain in the world, pay up all debts, give and take, which you have to do as a reaction of the past, pay up those strictly. And direct your footsteps to God. Yes? Those who can guide you that way, he is called a master.
There is no reserved right any of outer any religion, you see. Masters have been coming in all religions. You remain anywhere you like, but meet such a master, you see, in whom he is manifest and who has the competency to make that power of God manifest in you. Such a man, while living in the world too, when he is always thinking of God, you see, naturally will you go to God. If you are tied to the world, naturally you will have to come back again and again. Man body is the highest rung in creation, fortunately. We have got it already, and the best use of it is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves. It's a practical subject of self-analysis that can be demonstrated by someone who rises above body consciousness daily. So this is what I will tell you, whom we should love in the world.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Rudy Cascon. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Well, today's reading will be from the April 1972 Satsang Desh. The name of the talk is Inn of Madness. Man spends his whole life exploring the so-called wonders of the world in outer things and places, but few ever dream of exploring the inner depths of this wonderful house in which we live, the physical form. Throughout history, few have solved the mystifying riddle of life. When regarding the body, what do we see? Do we see but a 5 to 6 foot statue of matter? Do we not realize that some power sustains this human form and is, in fact, imprisoned within it? Even though the body has 9 outlets, yet the prisoner within cannot get out through any of them. Why? Because it is being controlled. Breath goes out incessantly, and when the breath goes out, it does not stay out. Some power is drawing it back into the body. Sometimes a man is shot, perhaps 10 or 20 times, yet he does not die. On the other hand, he might slip when walking and break his neck. What a grand enigma! We have no knowledge of this power within. We never give a thought to it, or that source from which it draws life and sustenance. Masters have said that those people who do not believe in God, even though they may always be near the holy places, are atheists. However, those who do not know who they truly are, realistically speaking, are more atheistic. Excuse me, but where God is concerned, are we not all atheists? For no one has seen him. A small child is more conscious of his true self than an adult. But as he grows, he becomes more and more aware of the body. And when you ask him who he is, he will open his eyes and mouth wide in an endeavor to express what he truly is. But when fully grown, he will tell you, I am Ram Dass or I am Ram Singh, for he cannot differentiate between his body and his real self. When you say, this is my body, have you ever taken it off as you remove your coat or shoes? We say, this is my body, but in fact, we have become the body. We do not know who I is, or who it is that says, this is mine. So it is more damaging ignorance not to know one's true self, that self which must eventually experience the over-self. The self or soul is the conscious entity which enlivens the body and which depends on something even greater for its existence. As long as it is not conscious of its true nature, it cannot experience that greater nature. So in the true sense, there are very few theists in the world. For a theist is one who has realized himself and has realized the Lord also. Intellectually, the whole world can say, I am not the mind, I am not the senses, I am not the intellect, I am not the pranas, and so on. But has anyone ever separated himself from these things? We can take off our coat and hat, but can we step out of the body and see who the indweller is? Self-realized people say that the greatest book of knowledge is the physical form, through which all written scriptures have come. The explorers of the body, the rishis, munis, and mahatmas, realized the truth of the mystery and found the power that controls the human being, and that is one's true self. That, in turn, is sustained by the Overself. Scriptures came through such men who were in tune from within, who, by analyzing themselves and rising above body consciousness, got in higher touch and became the mouthpiece of the greater power. Whatever they said came direct from that power. They did not speak at the level of the mind and senses, and this is the big difference between the words that come from a realized person and the words that come from the intellect. For the intellectual can speak only from that level, whereas the realized soul speaks as inspired from above. Emerson said, those thoughts which come without thinking are always perfect. A Muslim fakir says, actually, you are the mother of all books. And he also says, when your outer self finds your real self, then you will see that something is within you and that God is speaking within you. Guru Nanak says, whatever comes from my beloved, I give out. He does not speak from his own thoughts. Christ said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment. What should I say and what should I speak? When Philip also asked to be shown the Father, Christ reminded him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He hath seen me, hath seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. For example, if one listens to a radio that is tuned in, one hears the sound. From what place does the radio catch the sound? From whatever station it is attuned to. A God-realized person is in tune with the Lord, and in him the Lord speaks. Brahm speaks through the physical form. If there were no physical form, how would Brahm speak? That divine link is in each human being, not more in one and less in another, but the same in all. However, only those who have come into realization and are the mouthpiece of God can see that I and my Father are one. This is because they rose above the mind, senses, and the net of illusion and saw the sustainer of all life is the one Lord. During the life of Rishi Bhagwaj, a householder by the name of Shanak went to him one day and said, Maharaj, what is that thing knowing which all else is known? The Rishi looked at him and saw that he was a householder. You should understand that householders are very different today. In those days, a man would become a householder after 25 years of brahmacharya, chastity in thought, word, and deed, during which time he gained extensive knowledge of the Vedas and Shastras, the ancient Hindu scriptures. After 25 years of leading a householder's life, according to the teachings of the Shastras, he would enter Vanprastha Ashram, secluded life devoted solely to the realization of the Lord, cut off from worldly life and worldly people. You might say, in this day and age, the latter phrase has become more like a business. A man reads one or two books and then starts giving lectures, but pays little attention to the inner self. If a man's eye is not open, what can he say on the subject? Kabir Sahib once had a conversation with a learned pundit, and eventually remarked to him, "Oh brother, your mind and my mind can never agree. I say what I see, and you say what has been written. It is entirely different to speak from experience. One can never be fully experienced by reading someone else's statements, for seeing is believing. God gave equal privileges to all human beings, and the only difference between a master soul and an ordinary man is that one is in tune and the other is not. The embodied soul has got consciousness for a while living in this physical form. Yet, it is of the same essence as God, who is all consciousness. He is the ocean and we are the drops, but unfortunately, we are under the influence of the mind. The mind, in turn, is being dragged by the senses, and the senses are being dragged by worldly enjoyments. In this way, the jiva, the embodied soul, soul in creation, has become the image of the body and the world, identified so much so with these that it has forgotten its true identity. For he who has forgotten his own self, the matter of knowing the Lord is very far away. For this reason, nearly all masters have advised, man, know thyself. Nanak says, without knowing oneself, this illusion will not go. And when does one see what the soul is? When the soul is stilled, the mind is stilled, and the intellect at rest, then only will one know the soul. It is the soul to experience the Lord. He cannot be known by senses, mind, intellect, or pranas. It's very clear cut. Knowledge is like a child of all books. Love is the mother of all books. For God is love, and the soul, being the same essence as the Lord, is also love. But what do we do with this love? At the sense level, we scatter it in hundreds and thousands of places. One heart and millions of desires. On top of that, more desires. And then, where is the place for him to sit? If one withdraws from everything else and concentrates in one place, greater power, great power strings forth. If everything else has concentrated in one place, power springs forth. If a pipe has 10 holes and you close up 9 of them, the water will simply gush out of the 10th. Well, up to now, our soul has been under mind's control. But by withdrawing the hour from outer influences and receiving strength, it can gain control of the whole being. Remember that God is all attention, and the soul, having the same nature, is also all attention and miniature. When that all attention wished to become one from many, the whole of creation came into being. The soul also has great power, but under the mind's influence, it has scattered its attention hither and thither, thereby weakening itself. If only it would withdraw from the outer attractions, it would create a town at least. It is with much sorrow that I say the soul's strength has been divided into so many avenues. So all true masters say that realizing God is a simple matter. What is there to realizing the Lord? Just uproot the attention from here and plant it there. It is simply a matter of withdrawing and gathering together the scattered attention. As you know, the rays of the sun are under normal conditions will not ignite anything. But if you pass them through a convex lens and thereby concentrate them, anything they settle upon would burst into flames. The whole of this life's purpose is to become still, to withdraw from outer environments and to concentrate. You have great strength within you. You are the child of a lion. So when Bhajwad Rishi answered the householder Shanak's question, he sought to reply in such a way as to be of help to Shanak in his household duties. Knowing he was a literate man, the Rishi said, "There are two kinds of teachings. One is called Apravidya and the other Paravidya. Apravidya comes from books, scriptures, etc., and creates some interest in the seeker, which leads to some devotion too. For this, customs, rites, pilgrimages, saying prayers and singing hymns, giving alms, fasting, performing austerities, etc., will help to create bhakti, devotion to God. However, this is all preparation of the ground, and there is no real satisfaction in it because it will not give salvation or realization. All these things come under the category of good actions, and one may gain a heavenly place through them, but again and again the soul will have to return to earth, for they are all at the level of the senses. These are the first steps to be taken toward the Lord. Just as a child goes to school and first learns how to use a pencil, but you can see just how much value these actions hold. You all have taken these steps at some time or another, but now go ahead. Make the best use of the foundation you have built. The foundation alone cannot take you to the ultimate goal. Without knowing the self, brothers, withdraw. Become conscious of yourself and get to contact with the Overself. As Bhagwaj Rishi told Shanak, the householder, when you know yourself, you will know everything. Now you can see that this teaching is for all true seekers of God. God made man, but he did not stick any label on him. The purpose of all religions is to realize God and to spend this life's journey in peace, contentment, and usefulness to each other. Those were the true aims, but what was the outcome? He started to realize God, but between the mind turned turtle. You may ask, have we lost ourselves? Yes, most decidedly yes. One Muslim fakir says that the atrocities man has committed against himself could not have been done by even the blindest of all. And the biggest atrocity, living in this house, we lost contact with the one who runs it. The mystery of life must be solved, no matter to what religion a person belongs. The masters who solved this mystery were born into various religions, just as we were. Those who contacted them and who, in turn, were taught the solution. Ravidas was a cobbler. Kabir was a weaver. Tulsisap was a Brahmin. Man made caste, but God made the soul and embodied it within the human form. First, rise above the senses and then tell what you are and what is your religion. No matter which master's hymns you take, the subject will remain the same. And even though language and expression may vary, masters do not consider men from their religious labels, but rather they see everyone as soul in the body and regard all from the level of the soul. They are not gurus of any particular religion, but are gurus of mankind. Satguru is one who brings all people together. For the Satguru, there is no conflict of caste or creed, no thought of breaking old traditions or making new ones. In fact, they do say that there are already more than sufficient religions and sects in existence. Al-Hazur would remark that there is no point in digging new wells when there are already more than enough to serve the people. Man must either live up to his religion or make a new one. Is it not better then to remain in your present formation? But while living in according to its aims and precepts, one seek for one who has already solved the mystery of life and who can help you fulfill the same. You may find such a personality in any religion, and you may call him by any name you wish. To become proficient in any subject, you must go to an expert in that study. And if a person has a sincere desire to learn about the soul, he or she should approach a competent teacher of spirituality, one who has realized himself and the Oversoul. This is a matter of common sense and needs no philosophy. All great teachers of this subject say that we are all embodied souls, living in the house of the physical form from which we can derive the greatest benefit if we but make the best use of the situation. The human form is the king of all species and is the highest rung in the ladder of creation. For in this form, God has placed the power of differentiation through which one can define truth from untruth and so achieve that which can be done in no other form. There is a prayer in the Ved Bhagwan which says, O Lord, take us from the untruth to the truth. But of course, if man has no interest in either, what is the use? Swamiji Maharaj says, Hansni, a mythical swan-like bird, separates the milk from the water. You are Hansni, O soul. Hansni is said to have the ability in her beak to separate milk from water and drink only the milk. O soul, you are like that Hansni, and you can differentiate the truth from the untruth. Drink only milk and leave the water. Think of this body as matter. God resides therein, and only He is the truth. The body and all things connected are in constant flux, for it is the nature of matter to be ever-changing. Only the soul is true, permanent, and unchanging. Try to recognize the soul. Atheist, the devotee, manmukh, or gurumukh, what is the difference between them? To know the atheist, he is lost in the world. To know the devotee, the world is lost in him. The manmukh is lost in the world of mind and senses. For the true devotee, the world does not really exist, for he has the Lord's intoxication and is awakened to the truth within himself, and has thereby forgotten both the world and the afterworld. Great is man. Do not think of him as merely a form, just 5 or 6 foot puppet. If the gods and goddesses desire to gain salvation, they must inherit this human form. The Upanishad says, soul is riding in the chariot of the body. Intellect is the charioteer. Mind is the reins. Senses are the horses dragging it into the fields of enjoyments. So it means that the sole barrier between us and the Lord is the mind. If we could cast aside the mind and the senses, we would realize our true selves and the Lord. If this aim, which has been founded in all religions, is not achieved, a man's life is wasted. When Zoroaster was asked for advice, he said, join the army of God. When he was asked what qualifications a person required to join this army, he replied, good thoughts, good words, good deeds. This means live a righteous life in every way. And this has been advised by all masters of all dharmas, which is supreme. Take the name of God and live righteously. In the Sikh religion, it is said, repeat the name and share your food with others. The teachings are all the same, and we want to enter the army of God, but we enter only the army of religion. And the result of this is that men are fighting among themselves. We put God aside and start saying, I am a Sikh, or I am a Muslim, and so on. Kabir Sahib says, no one is a Hindu or Muslim. Think of us as one. God made the human being, and man is older than all philosophies and religions, which were formed long after man's advent for the noble purpose of realizing the soul. If this aim is not achieved, then where then is the purpose? I can only say that if the leaders of the religions were to give the correct teaching, the world would be a joy and peace. Is it not the aim of all religions to pass one's sojourn of worldly life in peace, to be of helpful use to each other, to realize God? Surely this is the true aim of all, and if all are devotees of the one God, then why all the conflict and strife? Hundreds of lovers, but one beloved for all. Customs and religion may be separate, but the aim is the same. But as things stand, brother is fighting brother, and both declare that their own sect is better. Is it not clear that all are the same? Do not say that the books are all lies. Liar is he who does not absorb. The holy scriptures record the words of realized people who have walked the path of spirituality, however many steps they took along this path, so accordingly they taught others. We have respect for all. Just consider how the masters regard life. They are not bound by any special affiliation and are not dictated to by any politics. They are cosmic beings. Peace be unto all the world under thy will, O Lord. Guru Nanak also said, O Nanak, the Naam is ever ascending. Through thy will, the whole world benefits. The hearts of the masters are so abounding, everyone can have a place therein. When they come for the upliftment of all people. All sects are theirs, all religions, all countries. When I was visiting the West, one place held a meeting for East and West, and I was invited to represent the East. To represent the West, they invited a certain Frenchman. But at the last minute, he could not attend the meeting. So the organizers said to me, well, we will leave both East and West to you. I replied, there is no doubt that the saying is East and East and West is West, and never the twain shall meet. But some man has said that, not God. The whole creation is the house of the Lord, and there is no east or west in it. All these countries are so many rooms in the one house of our Father. Aeroplanes have eliminated vast differences between countries. Today, one may be in India, and tomorrow in England, and the day after in America. But man is man, no matter where he is, and regardless of outer garb or custom, all are devotees of one Lord. When I was asked in America if I had come to found some ashram, I told them that I had come to uplift the very ashrams that people carry around with them, the physical form. People have forgotten these things. I have come to awaken them. There is no need for introduction of anything new, for the thing already exists within. But I have come to revive what you have forgotten. Masters regard situations with very open outlook, but those whose outlook is confined to their own closed sect do not give the true teaching. Just before the partition of India and Pakistan in 1947, fighting between the Hindus and Muslims was going on, and our Hazur went to many disturbed areas. People repeatedly told him, if you only had come before, there would have been no fighting. I am trying to explain very clear and straightforward facts. Because of earning food for the stomach through the name of religion, so much misunderstanding has been born. If four drunkards can sit together and enjoy each other's company, then why not four devotees from different religions? For the purpose of love and understanding. It might be said that the former have some kind of intoxication, but the latter have none. Kabir explains it this way. That a Hansni once sat in a field of Kodrai. Kodrai is a rather inferior grain. The farmer saw the Hansni and started to chase him with a stick. So Kabir Sahib observes, this poor ignorant farmer does not know that the Hansni never eats grain, but lives on pearls. So masters never come to take from worldly people. Now listen carefully to Kabir Sahib's hymn. In the inn of the body, the Jiva traveler is staying, but why so enwrapped in this madness? The body is like an inn, and we are travelers in this world but for a few days. The senses are outgoing faculties through which the worldly impressions enter, and worldly impressions enter, are firmly attached to this inn or house. The eyes alone absorb 83% of all impressions. The ears take in 14%, and the remaining 3% is distributed among the other senses. When we sleep, we dream of the impressions we have received in our everyday wakened state. As can be seen, our lives are very superficial. We have never taken a dip into our real self. What is the purpose, then, of this inn-like body? Its purpose is to enable us to know our true self and to realize God. If the soul does not do this, then, if life fades away without gaining the benefit, the advent of birth is wasted. Lord Buddha said the same thing, that within human life the truth can be realized. Who knows when we will again receive the blessing of human birth? It was given for a definite use, so why get intoxicated with sense pleasures? What will be gained this way? You will go on seeing the world's play, but the craving for more and more is never satisfied. The ears are always listening to the world's tune, but are never contented with it. One thinks one is enjoying the sense pleasures, but it is not so. The sense pleasures are enjoying you. And here I will stop, and we'll continue next time with this. And thank you, Master, for your words and for the privilege to read your words. Thank you.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute. I'll do a count. So today we had 77 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this to us. Now please hang up your phone.